أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. ربنا زدنا علما، اللهم فقهنا في الدين، اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا وعملا متقبلا ورزقا طيبا. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من علم لا ينفع، ومن قلب لا يخشع، ومن نفس لا تشبع، ومن دعوة لا يستجاب لها. آمين. Oh Allah, we ask you for all of the blessings of this month and for you to bless us with taqwa and iman that continues and benefits us through our lifetime. Ameen Ya Rabbal Alameen. Juz 25, Surat Fussilat, Ayah number 47. إليه يرد علم الساعة وما تخرج من ثمرات من أكمامها وما تحمل من أنثى ولا تدع إلا بعلمه ويوم يناديهم أين شركائي قالوا آذناك ما منا من شهيد. To him alone is attributed knowledge of the hour, and fruits emerge not from their coverings, nor does a female conceive or give birth except with his knowledge. And the day he will call to them, where are my so-called partners? They will say, we announce to you that there is no longer among us any witness to that. None among us are going to give witness to that. We do not attest to that anymore. وَضَلَّ عَنْهُمْ مَا كَانُوا يَدْعُونَ مِنْ قَبْلِ. And lost from them will be those they were invoking before, and they will be certain that they have no place of escape. Man is not weary of supplication for good things, but if evil touches him, he is hopeless and despairing. فَيَئُوسٌ قَنُوتٌ, Allah says, why did this happen to me? People who turn away from deen when difficulty happens because they don't have a strong connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They feel entitled to a good life. Allah says, is for you whatever you wish, tamanna. Whatever we wish will be in Jannah, but we have to work for it. We have to earn Allah's mercy for it. And if we let him taste mercy from us after adversity which has touched him, he will surely say, this is due to me. Like Qarun, utituhu ala ilm. I have managed this because of what I did. So soon we forget Allah. Allah says he will say, this is due to me, and I do not think that the hour will occur. And even if I should be returned to my Lord, indeed for me there will be with him the best. Why do people believe that? Because they don't seriously consider anything. They do not seriously consider reality. It's a superficial thought that flits across their mind about Akhirah, and then they just shrug it off. Allah says, but we will surely inform those who disbelieved about what they did, and we will surely make them taste a massive punishment. A true believer is worried about Akhirah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes them with the word mushfiqeen, those who are concerned. Allah then says, and when we bestow favor upon man, he turns away and distances himself. But when evil touches him, then he is full of extensive supplication. So our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is fickle. We are not loyal. Say, have you considered, if it, meaning the Quran, is from Allah, and you disbelieved in it, who would be more astray than one who is in extreme dissension? We will show them our signs in the horizons and within themselves until it becomes clear to them that it is the truth. But is it not sufficient concerning your Lord that he is over all things a witness? Unquestionably they are in doubt about the meeting with their Lord. Unquestionably he is of all things encompassing. Surah Shura. Shura means consultation, and this was also revealed at Mecca. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Ha Mim Ain Sin Qaf. Thus has he revealed to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and to those before you, Allah, the Exalted in Might, the Wise. To him belongs whatever is in the heavens and whatever is in the earth, and he is the Most High, the Most Great. The heavens almost break from above them, and the angels exalt Allah with praise of their Lord and ask forgiveness for those on earth. Unquestionably, it is Allah who is the forgiving, the merciful. Allah says, the heavens almost break from above them. From the grandeur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala above them, the heavens almost break as the angels exalt. Such a tremendous scene. Allah says, unquestionably it is Allah who is the forgiving, the merciful, despite the fact that He is the greatest and there is no one like Him. Allah says, and those who take as allies other than Him, وَالَّذِينَ اتَّخَذُوا مِن دُونِهِ أَوْلِيَا أَوْلِيَا وَلِي means a guardian, a close protecting friend. Allah says, Allah is yet guardian over them, meaning despite the fact that these disbelievers turn to others, it is Allah who protects them and continues to take care of them. Allah says, and you, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, are not over them a manager. And thus we have revealed to you an Arabic Quran that you may warn the mother of the cities, meaning Makkah, and those around it, meaning the surrounding areas, all the peoples, all the nations around, and warn of the day of assembly, about which there is no doubt. The day of assembly when we will all be assembled together, without regard to the color of our skin and the status of our worldly life. Allah says, this is a day about which there is no doubt. A party will be in paradise and a party in the blaze. And if Allah willed, He could have made them of one religion, but He admits whom He wills into His mercy, and the wrongdoers have not any protector or helper. Allah's mercy is manifested in guidance. If a person receives guidance, the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, when Allah wants good for someone, He gives him the understanding of religion. So what is my attitude at being a Muslim? How do I feel about it? Is it a mercy from Allah? Do I truly feel thankful every time I open up my eyes? Because I could have been born anywhere, in any family, under any religion, or none at all. But Allah has made me a Muslim since the moment I was conceived, the moment I came out of my mother's womb. Allah has blessed us. Alhamdulillah. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also chooses for His mercy those who come back to Him later, who revert back to the religion of fitrah, the natural religion, and that is Islam. And that is Allah's mercy on them. So Allah says, or have they taken protectors for allies besides Him? But Allah, He is the protector, and He gives life to the dead, and He is over all things competent. فَاللَّهُ هُوَ الْوَلِيُّ وَلِي is Allah alone. And in anything over which you disagree, Allah says, its ruling is to be referred to Allah. Say, that is Allah. ذَلِكُمُ اللَّهُ رَبِّي عَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلْتُ وَإِلَيْهِ أُنِيب. That is Allah, my Lord. Upon Him I have relied, and to Him I turn back. In Surah Maida we learned that seeking protection and honor from others, with others, means that a person is turning away from Allah. A person is turning away from Deen. So when Allah says, a believer says, Allahu Rabbi, Allah is my Rabb. Alayhi tawakkaltu, upon Him I rely, only Him. Wa ilayhi unib, I only turn to Him for anything, any need. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ask me. Why do ulama say, after giving a fatwa, that Allah knows best? Because at the end of the day, they have used their best judgment. It may be right, or it may be wrong. If it is right, it comes from Allah. If it is wrong, and they have been sincere in looking for the answer, and gone to the Quran and Sunnah and authentic sources, they still get double the reward. The Prophet ﷺ taught us that. But truly, Allah knows best. And it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who gives us the best rulings. So we have to be true to Him. If we are true to Him, we truly strive for Him, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides us to the correct ways. Allahumma ja'alna minhum ameen. Fatiru samawati wal ard. He is the creator of the heavens and the earth. And among the cattle mates, He multiplies you thereby. There is nothing like unto him, and he is the hearing, the seeing. To him belong the keys of the heavens and the earth. He extends provision for whom he wills and restricts it. Indeed, he is of all things knowing. He has ordained for you, of religion, what he enjoined upon Noah, and that which we have revealed to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and what we enjoined upon Abraham and Moses and Jesus, to establish the religion and not be divided therein. Difficult for those who associate others with Allah is that to which you invite them. Why? What do we invite people to? Worshipping Allah alone, without associating any partners with him, without saying that he has a son or a share in any of his kingdom, or that he is God manifest upon earth in the form of Isa alayhi salam. He was one of the greatest prophets, but he was just a man. Allah chooses for himself whom he wills and guides to himself who turns back to him. Allah uses this word again. May yunib anaba yunibu unibu. I turn back to Allah. The people who truly love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will understand their true nature, and in their true nature they will recognize that Allah truly is alone and there is no associate with him. Allah says this is the guidance of Allah. When he chooses someone, he guides them to Tawheed and they immediately understand the truth. Allah says, and they did not become divided until after knowledge had come to them, out of jealous animosity between themselves. And if not for a word that had proceeded from your Lord, meaning postponing the penalty until a specified time, it would have been concluded between them. And indeed, those who were granted inheritance of the scripture after them concerning it are in disquieting doubt. Why this? Why disquieting doubt? Why not just simply disbelief? Dr. Gerald Dirks, who's written a book called The Cross and the Crescent, has written his biography. Talks about himself. He used to be a Methodist priest and he went to formal seminary school in order to become a reverend or a priest. He admitted that he would stand in front of the masses and preach to them daily what he knew not to be true. He knew it was not true that all the Christians believe 100% that Isa alayhi salam is the Son of God. In fact, within their own scriptures and within their own history are details of how this idea, this concept all came about. And there have been multiple times where people have had differences of opinion on this within their own tradition. So Allah says, and indeed those who were granted inheritance of the scripture after them are concerning it in disquieting doubt, because they recognize the truth in the Quran and the concept of divinity in the Quran. Allah says, so to that religion of Allah, meaning the religion that was given to Noah, Abraham, Moses, Jesus, and Muhammad, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon all of them. Allah says, so to that religion of Allah invite and remain on a right course as you are commanded, and do not follow their inclinations, but say, I have believed in what Allah has revealed of the scripture, meaning the Quran, and I have been commanded to do justice among you. Allah is our Lord and your Lord. For us are our deeds, and for you are your deeds. There is no need for argument between us and you. Allah will bring us together, and to him is the final destination. What a wonderful, comprehensive and precise ayah on how to deal with da'wah, how to deal with people of the book in the most positive manner. As a review, let's look at this ayah. It has 10 sentences and each sentence carries a specific order. The first order is, O Prophet, peace be upon him, invite towards the faith, meaning call people towards Tawheed, the oneness of Allah. The second order is, be steadfast as you are commanded, meaning you yourself ought to stand firm in the religion. The third command is, وَلَا تَتَّبِعْ أَهْوَاءَهُمْ, do not follow their desires, meaning don't be concerned about their opposition. The fourth command is, say I believe in whatever book Allah has sent down. to announce that the Prophet, peace be upon him, does not just believe in the Quran that was revealed to him, but he also believes in the former divine books. And this is a crucial element of our da'wah. Most of the people, majority of the people of the book, do not realize that we love and revere Isa alayhi salam, that we believe in all of the divine books. The fifth command is that to say that I have been ordered to do justice among you, adl, meaning treat you all equally. Remember, the Jews used to think that they could mistreat anyone who was not from the Bani Israel, who was not Jewish, and that Allah would not take them to account for that. Islam tells us that everyone is honored in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Prophet, peace be upon him, was told to tell them that he has been commanded to treat everyone with justice, all at the same level. The sixth command is to say, Allahu Rabbuna, Allah is our Lord and your Lord, meaning all of us belong to him. This is another mistaken view that people of the book have, that somehow Muslims worship some other God. Well, there is no other God. So we need to clarify that there is just one God, and their God and our God is the same. And the seventh sentence says, say, for us are our deeds and for you are your deeds, meaning we are not responsible for each other's deeds. We are responsible for giving the invitation, and that is it. But ultimately, each of us is responsible for our own individual choices. The eighth command is to say, there are no argumentations between us. We don't need to argue about this. This concept is very important to give confidence and a boost to the courage of the believers. Because when we stop arguing, we have in essence said, our belief is complete. And we completely believe in what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent. We don't need to argue about it anymore. You cannot change our minds. It actually gives strength to the believers after they have given the message well. Okay, we are going to step back now. And we have done our job. For you are your deeds. For us are our deeds. And let's not carry on this conversation over and over again. The ninth sentence, Allah says, tell them Allah will bring us together to remind them again of the Day of Judgment. It is very important to remind people of Akhirah. And then the last one, وَإِلَيْهِ الْمَصِيرِ, we are going to all return to Him. To Him is the final destination, and nobody can argue with that. Then Allah says, and those who argue concerning Allah after He has been responded to, meaning after people have accepted the truth from Allah, and they have accepted Islam, Allah says that the deen is now established. Their argument, Allah says, is invalid with their Lord, and upon them is His wrath, and for them is a severe punishment. It is Allah who has sent down the book in truth, and also the balance, meaning justice. And what will make you perceive? Perhaps the hour is near. Allah has sent the mizan. Allah has assigned weight to deeds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described good deeds. He has described bad deeds, evil deeds. He has also described the ones that are mubha, that are permissible, and the ones that are makruh, that He dislikes, but they are not necessarily haram or forbidden. The beautiful thing about all of this is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made this very clear to us, which deeds are beneficial and which deeds are not. It is as if we go to give a quiz or a test or an exam, and on the question paper, the points for each question are also written down. And at the end, the teacher will also tell you if there's a curve involved. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been fair and just, and He has made it easy for us. For example, if a person is running out of time, it's a 1 hour test, they will try to attempt those answers that are weighted with the highest points, not the ones that are weighted with less points. Others who could not solve the ones that are weighted with greater points will be thankful that there are others that have lesser points, and they will try to solve as many of them as possible. Allah is merciful. Allah has set a standard for everything in this world. Allah has set a standard for behavior, for ibadah, for ubudiyah as well. Ubudiyah, it's not just ibadah. Ubudiyah means the slavery of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, dedicating ourselves in every aspect of our life to Allah. Allah says the guidance comes in the form of the book, أنزل الكتاب بالحق, and he has also sent down the mizan as well, the criterion to judge. Allah says those who do not believe in it, the hour, are impatient for it. They had challenged the Prophet, peace be upon him, to bring it on immediately. Allah says, but those who believe are fearful of it. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مُشْفِقُونَ. Again Allah says, uses this word. He describes the believers of having this feeling of uncertainty, and they're worried about what is going to happen to them in Akhirah, whether they will be successful or not, whether our deeds have been accepted or not. This is a constant fear in a true believer. Allah says, but those who believe are fearful of it and know that it is the truth. Unquestionably, those who dispute concerning the hour are in extreme error. Allah is subtle, meaning gentle. Allahu Latif. Latifum bi ibadihi. Latif means one who looks at things in a very detailed way. The smallest of changes, he is aware of them. Allah is subtle with his servants. He gives provision to whom he wills, and he is the powerful, the exalted in might. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deals with us in a very subtle fashion. When he gives us provision, he increases our provision. We are not even aware of it. This is also evidence of his power and might. Allah says, Man kana yuridu harth al-akhirati. Whoever desires the harvest of the hereafter, al-akhirah, we increase for him in his harvest, meaning his reward. And whoever desires the harvest of this world, we give him thereof. But there is not for him in the hereafter any share. Allah reminds us also in Surah Al-Isra, when he says, but whoever desires the hereafter and extends the effort due to it while he is a believer, it is those whose effort is ever appreciated. Allah says, to each category we extend, the people who want this dunya and the people who want akhirah. Allah says, to these and to those, from the gift of your Lord, and never has the gift of your Lord been restricted. So what am I supposed to do? Should I not concentrate on dunya at all? No. Dunya is a bridge. It's a bridge that we have to go over in order to get to akhirah. Dunya is simply a set of tools that we have been given to earn akhirah. So the rule of thumb is, get involved in dunya as much as it does not weaken my quest for the hereafter. Dunya, the world, can be a means or a hindrance. Sometimes it can slow people down. We have to be truly cognizant of this all the time. Perhaps the best thing to do is to keep the hadith of the Prophet, peace be upon him, in mind. Jabir bin Abdullah reported that the Prophet, peace be upon him, happened to walk through the market coming from the side of Aliyah, from one side, and the people were on both his sides. There he found a dead lamb with very short ears. He took hold of his ear and said, who amongst you would like to have this for a dirham? They said, we do not like to have it, even for less than that, as it is of no use for us. He said, do you wish to have it free, meaning free of cost? They said, by Allah, even if it was alive, we would not have liked to possess that, if there is a defect in it, as its ear is very short. Now it is also dead. Thereupon Allah's Messenger ﷺ said, by Allah, this world is more insignificant in the eye of Allah as it is in your eye, as a dead lamb is in your eye. Subhanallah. This is from Sahih Muslim. Am lahum shuraka'u, or they have partners, that is other deities, who have ordained for them a religion to which Allah has not consented. The true religion, Islam, differentiates between the worldly life and akhirah. In Islam, hereafter is our real life. This is not our real life. Neither this is a place to stay. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, what other religion is there? This was the only religion Allah has always sent down. Then he says, but if not for a decisive word, meaning decree, it would have been concluded between them. Allah threatens them and warns them that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had decreed already that they were going to get a chance, meaning the punishment like those of previous nations would not descend upon the Quraysh, the Kuffar, because the Prophet, peace be upon him, was sent as Rahmatul Lil Alameen. He was sent as a mercy to all of mankind. But Allah does not promise that in the future. In fact, Allah warns them and says, and indeed the wrongdoers will have a painful punishment. You will see the wrongdoers fearful of what they have earned, and it will certainly befall them. And those who have believed and done righteous deeds will be in lush regions of the gardens in Jannah, having whatever they will in the presence of their Lord. How beautiful is that? In the presence of their Lord. That is what is the great bounty. May Allah make us of these people. Ameen Ya Rabbal Alameen. It is that of which Allah gives good news to His servants who believe and do righteous deeds. Say, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I do not ask you for it, meaning the message, any payment, but only goodwill through kinship. And whoever commits a good deed, we will increase for him good therein. Indeed, Allah is forgiving and appreciative. Inna Allah ghafurun shakur. Or do they say he has invented about Allah a lie? But if Allah willed, he could seal over your heart. Meaning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could make the Prophet, peace be upon him, forget the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can prevent us from learning the Quran. Allah can deprive us of the Quran. How many homes are there in which there is not a single copy of the Quran? They don't know what it is. And how many homes are there of Muslims where there are multiple copies of the Quran, but nobody opens them and nobody knows where they are? Remember, Islam enters us through our heart, and our heart determines whether we follow the Quran or not, whether we truly obey the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or not. So when Allah says that He could seal your heart, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can stop us from truly from being attached to the Quran. Allah says, and Allah eliminates falsehood and establishes the truth by His words. Indeed, He is knowing of that within the breasts. And it is He who accepts repentance from His servants and pardons misdeeds, and He knows what you do. And He answers the supplication of those who have believed and done righteous deeds and increases for them from His bounty. But the disbelievers will have a severe punishment. And if Allah had extended excessively provision for His servants, they would have committed tyranny throughout the land. But He sends it down in an amount which He wills. Indeed, He is of His servants acquainted and seeing. So Allah tells us, do not get frustrated. Whatever we get, however much it is good for us. Otherwise, if we had more than what we needed, we would certainly have committed tyranny. We would have oppressed people. We would have used that money to cross the limits of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what should we ask for? Should we not ask for risk? Of course we should ask for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from risk. For risk, khair, money, wealth is khair. Halal money, halal wealth is khair. But ask for barakah in it. What is barakah? It's a difficult concept to understand. It's a blessing. That means that in a certain amount of money, you can do more, you can achieve more. Often people think that they have enough. And alhamdulillah, Allah always gives us enough. But they intend on saving some of it. Their washing machine breaks down. They have a flat tire there, or their tire bursts. They have to buy a new tire. Unusual things happen which sap their savings. So we really have to sit down and think, why is that happening? This is the opposite of barakah. True barakah is that a person goes out and saves money and goes out to buy something for $50. They arrive at the store and it's on sale for 50% off. And they had no idea. Alhamdulillah, that is barakah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reduces our needs. So a person feels at ease and comfortable in the same amount of money they had before. Allah says, وَهُوَ الَّذِي يُنَزِّلُ غَيْثَ. It is He who sends down the rain after they had despaired and spreads His mercy. And He is a protector, the praiseworthy. Alhamdulillah, I read a book of patience some time ago. In it was a chapter about a woman waiting for the blessings of Allah. She had recently become divorced and was a single mom taking care of her children. Finally, the money started running out. She started looking for a job. She tried and tried. Months passed, nothing happened. She started writing some manuscripts for children's books and started putting them in the mail. After months of worrying and anxiety, she finally gave up. Not that she stopped working, she continued to mail publishers and talk to people. But she said that she would just sit in her garden after the children had gone to school, and she would just wait for Allah's mercy to come. She knew that it would come. And finally, the spring came, and suddenly, out of the blue, she gets a letter from the publisher accepting her work. And then she never looked back. So she noted and said that sometimes you simply have to wait for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be ready to shower His blessings. We should do what we can, but we should not drive ourselves into anxiety because we cannot control our provision. We cannot control anything that happens in our lives. Allah blessed her. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses people when He says that He sends rain after people have despaired, that now rain is not going to come. Why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do that? Why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send rain after people are completely certain that the drought is here forever? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves to surprise us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves to see how happy we are. The woman in the story was a non-Muslim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent her mercy as well. And for the believers, Allah gives them double. In this dunya, relief. And in Akhirah, a tremendous reward. Allahumma ja'alna minhum ameen. So getting relief is a sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa huwa al-waliyul hamid. Allah again says that He is the one who is the wali and He is always praiseworthy. And of His signs is the creation of the heavens and earth and what He has dispersed throughout them of creatures. And He, for gathering them when He wills, is competent. And whatever strikes you of disaster, it is for what your hands have earned. But He pardons much. Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Allah clearly tells us, وَمَا أَصَابَكُم مِّن مُصِيبَةٍ. Musiba is a difficulty or a problem in our lives. Allah says it is because of what you have done. بِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ. Whereas, وَيَعْفُ عَنْ كَثِيرٍ, He pardons much of it, meaning that if He did not pardon, even more difficulties and disasters would strike us. Alhamdulillah. Allah says, and you will not cause failure to Allah upon the earth, and you have not besides Allah any protector or helper. مَا لَكُمْ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ مِنْ وَلِيٍّ وَلَا نَصِيرٍ. And of His signs are the ships in the sea, like mountains. If He willed, He could still the wind, and they would remain motionless on its surface. Indeed, in that are signs for everyone patient and grateful. The traveling, the journey of the sea is very difficult and tough. It is arduous. It takes a tremendous amount of time. Allah says, if that is difficult for you, then what if the wind completely stopped blowing? And you simply became stationary upon the ocean and you could not move, you could not go forward or backward or even turn around. What would that happen? Things would become even more difficult. How would you bear that? So Allah says, the difficulties that you have in this world, they are easy to deal with. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not place a burden upon us that we cannot bear. But we ourselves, with our incorrect choices, make our lives difficult for ourselves. Allah says, in this is a sign for everyone who is what? Sabbar in Shakur. Extremely patient and very, very grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would say, Alhamdulillah ala kulli hal. Be thankful to Allah in every situation. Allah says, La in shakartum la azidannakum. If you are grateful to me, I will definitely surely give you more. Allah says, or He could destroy them. He could destroy the people for what they have earned. But He pardons much, Allah says. The ships could actually sink because of violent winds. The opposite can happen. Allah says, and that is so those who dispute concerning our signs may know that for them there is no place of escape. So whatever thing you have been given, it is but for enjoyment of the worldly life. But what is with Allah is better and more lasting for those who have believed and upon their Lord rely. We have to trust Allah. You and I, we have to trust Him that what He is saying is true and that I will get what He has promised me. Then Allah mentions the other qualities of those who will enjoy the hereafter, the lasting life. They don't just rely upon Allah. Allah says, and those who avoid the major sins, kaba'ir al-ithmi, shirk, adultery, killing, riba, stealing an orphan's property, giving false testimony, black magic, and so on and so forth, the major sins. Allah says, wal fawahisha, and also immoralities. Fawahish is the plural of fahisha. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always highlights this word because He wants us to pay special attention to this word. He wants us to especially avoid immoralities, vulgarity, immoral behavior, whether it is watching immoralities, listening to immoralities, speaking about immoralities, or placing ourselves in a situation where immoral behavior is occurring. May Allah save us from that. Ameen. Allah says, ijtanibu, avoid all of these situations. Meaning, He did not say, do not put yourself in such a situation. He said, don't even come near any of these situations. So if I fear that I will be falling into major sin, if I fear that I will be falling into an immorality or it is about to occur, I must retreat very quickly, Allah says. That is avoidance. Then Allah says the other quality that these people have, and when they are angry, they forgive. مَغَضِبُوا هُمْ يَغْفِرُونَ. غَضَب is wrath. Someone is extremely angry and you can see it in their face and yet they forgive. In Surah Ali Imran, Allah says, وَالْكَازِمِينَ الْغَيْزَ وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ. The people who swallow their anger and overlook people. وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Allah loves those who work at the level of excellence. And then Allah says, وَالَّذِينَ اسْتَجَابُوا لِرَبِّهِمْ. And those who have responded to their Lord, jawab, Allah invites and we accept. We say, bala, Allah, we are here at your service. And established prayer, Allah says, wa aqamu salata, wa amruhum shura bainahum, and whose affair is determined by consultation among themselves. Wa mimma razaqnahum yunfiqun, and they spend from what we have provided for them. Allah says their affair is done in mutual consultation. This is an established sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, that in matters of importance, he would always gather people together and he would consult with the Sahaba. He was the Prophet and he was the leader of that nation, but he would never make unilateral decisions. The only place where there was no room for consultation were in matters of religion and matters of rituals of religions, the ordainments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the halal and the haram and so on and so forth. In matters of their daily affairs, even when he would go to jihad, he would sit down and consult with the Sahaba. And after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away, the Sahaba continued this tradition. Consultation means to ask those who understand the finer points for whatever issue is at hand. They understand it in detail. They are thoughtful and knowledgeable people and trustworthy people. It does not have to be a large group, but a small core group of people should always be there who are going to help the leader make decisions. All the Khulafa always had a small group of shura, it was a shura council they would have with them, who would help them and give them ideas. But ultimately the final decision would rest with the leader. Ibn Umar said that the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, has said, anyone who intends to do something and he takes that action after consultation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will guide him towards the best possible option. It means that Allah will turn that person in a direction towards an option which is the best one. And in the Musnad, the Holy Prophet ﷺ has been reported as saying about this ayah of Shura in Surah Fussilat, when a nation takes an action after mutual consultation, it is surely guided towards the correct course. So to recap, these are people who rely on Allah. They avoid major sins. They also avoid immoralities. When they are angry, they forgive. They respond to Allah and listen to Him. They establish Salah, follow the principle of shura, mutual consultation, and then they also spend what Allah has provided for them. And then Allah says, and those who, when tyranny strikes them, they defend themselves. They avenge themselves, how? In a just manner, restoring their rights. They do not allow aggressors to take advantage of them because of weakness. Allah says, and the retribution for an evil act is an evil one like it. But whoever pardons and makes reconciliation, his reward is due from Allah. Indeed, he does not like the wrongdoers. However, let's ponder on it for a little bit. On the one hand, in the previous ayah, Allah says, وَإِذَا مَا غَضِبُوا هُمْ يَغْفِرُونَ, and when they are really angry, they forgive. And then Allah says, and those who, when tyranny strikes them, they defend themselves. So what is the correct approach? A believer does not become overcome by anger. Rather, a believer is full of kindness and generosity. But in the face of al-baghyu, al-baghyu means to cross all limits, tyranny, breaking the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then they defend themselves. Remember the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, and it is recorded in Al-Bukhari, in meaning he said, if we allow tyrants to remain and to continue to do what they are doing as oppression, then we will be helping them to oppress. And every human being has a right to defend themselves. So Allah says the retribution for an evil act is an evil one. You can take revenge, but you have to be very careful that the revenge is absolutely equal. What is better? Allah says, but whoever pardons and makes reconciliation. This is what you need to be doing first, Allah says. This is better. Because Allah says his reward is due from Allah. If I take an equal revenge, then I have gained my reward in this dunya. If it is something that is truly going to destroy me or my family, then I have an absolute right to stand up for myself, Allah says. But Allah also teaches us that if we are capable of taking revenge, yet we forego, then the reward is immense. The Prophet ﷺ forgave 80 people in Hudaybiyah who planned against him. He gave general amnesty to the staunchest of his enemies on the day of Fath of Makkah, the victory of Makkah. But how would I decide whether this is the time to forgive and this is the time to stand up for myself? In difficult circumstances, human beings are naturally emotional, but a believer is always in control of his or her emotions. A believer is well-versed in the ayat and the teachings of the Quran, well-versed in the teachings of the Sunnah, well-versed in the teachings of Uswatun Hasana, because Allah says, if you truly hope to meet Allah, then you should follow the best of examples. And to have all of this information at your fingertips, at the tip of your tongue, is a difficult task. It comes after practice. You try and you fail and you try and you fail. Take notes of your behavior. In difficult situations, what was your first reaction? Examine yourself, train yourself, remind yourself, put post-it notes here and there. Keep silent, you know, control your anger, go do wudu, and then decide what you need to do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help, insha'Allah. Allah says, and whoever avenges himself after having been wronged, those have not upon them any cause for blame. The cause is only against the ones who wrong the people and tyrannize upon the earth without right. Those will have a painful punishment. Allah says a third time, وَلَمَنْ صَبَرَ وَغَفَرَ إِنَّ ذَلِكَ لَمِنْ عَزْمِ الْأُمُورِ, and whoever is patient and forgives, indeed, that is of matters requiring great determination. Why would anybody do that? Because the reward from Allah will be that great. May Allah make us of those. Ameen. Revenge has been mentioned once, and then the conditions for taking revenge have been mentioned as well. Forgiveness has been mentioned 3 times. So the reward is going to be 3 times greater too, insha'Allah.